I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconferenced prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archives on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We'll continue in song with hymn number 413.
Let us sing of Easter gladness.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Victor, not Victim. The second and third hymns today are 381 and 29. I'll be reading from the Voice translation of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, and this is from Luke. Early on Sunday morning, even before the sun had fully risen, women made their way back to the tomb with the spices and ointments they had prepared. When they arrived, they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb entrance. And when they looked inside, the body of the Lord Jesus was nowhere to be seen. They didn't know what to think. As they stood there in confusion, two men suddenly appeared standing beside them. These men seemed to glow with light. The women were so terrified that they fell to the ground face down. Two men, "Why are you seeking the living one in the place of the dead? He is not here. He has risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you way back in Galilee? He told you that the Son of Man must be handed over to wicked men. He must be crucified, and then on the third day, he must rise." The women did remember Jesus' words about this, so they returned from the tomb and found the 11 and recounted for them and others with them everything they had experienced. The Lord's emissaries heard their stories as fiction, a lie. They didn't believe a word of it. By the way, this group of women included Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, along with a number of others. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he reached the opening, he bent down, looked inside, and saw the linen burial clothes lying there. But the body was gone. He walked away, full of wonder about what had happened. Picture this. That same day, two other disciples, not of the 11, are traveling the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. As they walk along, they talk back and forth about all that has transpired during recent days. While they're talking, discussing, and conversing, Jesus catches up to them and begins walking with them. But for some reason, they don't recognize him. "Jesus, you two seem deeply engrossed in conversation. What are you talking about as you walk along this road?" They stop walking and just stand there, looking sad. One of them, Cleopas by name, speaks up. "You must be the only visitor in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about what's been going on, over the last few days. Jesus, what are you talking about? Two disciples. It's all about the man named Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet who did amazing miracles and preached powerful messages in the sight of God and everyone around. Our chief priests and authorities handed him over to be executed, crucified, in fact. We had been hoping that he was the one, you know, the one who would liberate all Israel and bring God's promises. Anyway, on top of this, just this morning, the third day after the execution, some women in our group really shocked us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't see his body anywhere. Then they came back and told us they did see something, a vision of heavenly messengers, and these messengers said that Jesus was alive. Some people in our group went to the tomb to check it out, and just as the women had said, it was empty. But they didn't see Jesus. Jesus, come on, men. Why are you being so foolish? Why are your hearts so sluggish when it comes to believing what the prophets have been saying all along? Didn't it have to be this way? Didn't the Anointed One have to experience these sufferings in order to come into His glory? Then he begins with Moses and continues, prophet by prophet, explaining the meaning of the Hebrew Scriptures, showing how they were talking about the very things that had happened to Jesus. About this time, they are nearing their destination. Jesus keeps walking ahead as if he has no plans to stop there, but they convince him to join them. Two disciples, please be our guest. It's getting late, and soon it will be too dark to walk. So he accompanies them to their home. When they sit down at the table for dinner, he takes the bread in his hands. He gives thanks for it, and then he breaks it and hands it to them. At that instant, two things happen simultaneously. Their eyes are suddenly opened, so they recognize him, and he instantly vanishes, just disappears before their eyes. Two disciples to each other. Amazing! Weren't our hearts on fire within us while he was talking to us on the road? Didn't you feel it all coming clear as he explained the meaning of the Hebrew Scriptures? So they get up immediately and rush back to Jerusalem, all 7 miles, where they find the 11 gathered together, the 11 plus a number of others. Before Cleopas and his companion can tell their story, the others have their own story to tell. Other disciples, the Lord has risen indeed. It's true. He appeared to Simon. Then the two men report their own experience, their conversation along the road, their moment of realization and recognition as he broke the bread. At that very instant, as they were still telling the story, Jesus is there, standing among them. Jesus, may you have peace. You might expect them to be overjoyed, but they weren't. They're startled and terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. Jesus, why are you upset? Why are your hearts churning with questions? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it's me. Come on, touch me. See for yourselves. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have. Then he shows them his hands and his feet. Jesus, I've been telling you this all along, that everything written about me in the Hebrew Scriptures must be fulfilled. Everything from the law of Moses to the prophets to the Psalms. Then he opens their minds so they can comprehend the meaning of the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus, this is what the Scriptures said, that the promised Anointed One should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that in His name a radical change of thought and life should be preached, and that in His name the forgiveness of sins should be preached, beginning in Jerusalem and extending to all nations. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Jesus represented Christ, the true idea of God. Hence the warfare between this spiritual idea and perfunctory religion, between spiritual clear-sightedness and the blindness of popular belief, which led to the conclusion that the spiritual idea could be killed by crucifying the flesh. The Christ idea, or the Christ man, rose higher to human view because of the crucifixion, and thus proved that truth was the master of death. Christ presents the indestructible man, whom spirit creates, constitutes, and governs. Christ illustrates that blending with God, his divine principle, which gives man dominion over all the earth. The spiritual idea of God, as presented by Jesus, was scourged in person, and its principle was rejected. That man was accounted a criminal who could prove God's divine power by healing the sick, casting out evils, spiritualizing materialistic beliefs, and raising the dead, those dead in trespasses and sins, satisfied with the flesh, resting on the basis of matter, blind to the possibilities of spirit and its correlative truth. Jesus uttered things which had been secret from the foundation of the world. Since material knowledge usurped the throne of the creative divine principle, insisted on the might of matter, the force of falsity, the insignificance of spirit, and proclaimed an anthropomorphic God. Whoever lives most the life of Jesus in this age and declares best the power of Christian Science will drink of his master's cup. Resistance to truth will haunt his steps, and he will incur the hatred of sinners till wisdom is justified of her children. These blessed benedictions rest upon Jesus' followers. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Lo, I am with you alway, that is not only in all time, but in all ways and conditions. God is not the creator of an evil mind. Indeed, evil is not mind. We must learn that evil is the awful deception and unreality of existence. Evil is not supreme. Good is not helpless, nor are the so-called laws of matter primary and the law of spirit secondary. Mankind must learn that evil is not power. Its so-called despotism is but a phase of nothingness. Christian Science despoils the kingdom of evil and preeminently promotes affection and virtue in families and therefore in the community. Midnight foretells the dawn. Christianity is again demonstrating the life that is truth and the truth that is life, but the apostolic work of casting out error and healing the sick. Earth has no repayment for the persecutions which attend a new step in Christianity, but the spiritual recompense of the persecuted is assured in the elevation of existence above mortal discord and in the gift of divine love. The prophet of today beholds in the mental horizon the signs of these times, the reappearance of the Christianity which heals the sick and destroys error, and no other sign shall be given. Jesus said substantially, "He that believeth in me shall not see death." That is, He who perceives the true idea of life loses his belief in death. He who has the true idea of good loses all sense of evil, and by reason of this is being ushered into the undying realities of spirit. Such a one abideth in life, life obtained not of the body, incapable of supporting life, but of truth, unfolding its own immortal idea. Jesus gave the true idea of being, which results in infinite blessings to mortals.